This morning, we read the parsha that contains the Ten Commandments. And you have to assume that what is true generally in the Torah, that is, that words are intended, that that's especially true in the Ten Commandments. That things are not put in there that aren't intended to be there. And there's a phrase in the Ten Commandments this morning, in the Aseret HaDibrot, that people don't like very much. They don't like it so much that if you look in our Chumash, it tries to explain it away. And the phrase is that God will visit the sins of the parents on the children to the third and fourth generation. And we don't like it because it's unfair. Why should we suffer for what they did? And why should God set it up that way? And if you look in Eitz Chaim, which follows many commentaries, it gives essentially two different explanations, which is another way of saying it gives two different ways to explain it away. One, which is certainly true, is that what's being said here is not so much what God intends on doing God's self, but rather the way the world is structured. If parents act a certain way, their children invariably are affected by it, for good or for ill. And the second thing that the Eitz Chaim points out is that in the prophetic literature, in the prophets, later on in the Tanakh, we get the phrase that everyone should die only for their own sin and not for the sin of those who came before them. And it leaves it at that. And for many years, I must say, that was more or less how I left it in my own mind. And whenever I would teach this, I would say, this is a description of reality. You may not like it, but all of us are intertwined and all of us, after all, suffer for the actions of others. All you have to do is have a lousy driver in front of you on the freeway, and you know that every human being is affected even by people whom you don't know but are in your vicinity or proximity. We could be affected tomorrow by something that someone does thousands of miles away whom we don't know. So how much more are we affected by our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents? But this week, I had an epiphany. An epiphany means a sudden revelation. Some people have them all the time. Emerson talked about the unguarded epiphanies of every blessed day, that each day you're given these little realizations. This week I was given a little realization. Now, I'm sure that this exists somewhere in commentaries on the Torah. It's hinted at a couple places that I looked, but no one says it explicitly. But it all of a sudden occurred to me what this verse was all about. At least, that's what I think. And in order to explain it, I can give you an analogy from my own family, but I'm sure that everybody here, if you go back far enough, has the same analogy. I was lucky enough to know three of my four grandparents. One of them died when my father was young, so obviously I never met my father's grandfather. And of my eight great-grandparents, I knew one, Rachel. We didn't communicate much because she only spoke Yiddish, but we smiled at each other a lot and we hugged, and I know that there was this connection, even though she used to speak to me in Yiddish and I would just nod and smile as though I understood her. But if you asked me, what was the most important thing that happened in your life, I would have to say the most important thing that happened in my life didn't happen in my lifetime. It was that my great-grandmother Rachel and the other great-grandparents of her generation decided to leave Russia and Lithuania and come to the United States. Had that not happened, nothing else would have happened. And so, as I thought about that, I got a whole new understanding of the verse. In order to explain it, Let me just turn to something two commandments later. It says, Kaved et avicha ve'etimecha, you should honor your parents. And many times people have asked, how come it doesn't say that parents are supposed to honor kids? Why is it only about kids honoring parents? And the usual explanation is, well, it's natural, which fortunately it is in many cases, although maybe not all. It's natural for parents to honor their children, but as a wit once said, love gets out of breath when it has to go uphill. That is, when children have to honor parents, it's more difficult, right? Love runs downhill more easily than it runs uphill. In fact, there was even a rabbi in the Talmud who said that the mitzvah of honoring your parents is the most difficult mitzvah to fulfill. I don't know what his parents were like, but I think it's interesting that he said that. But all of a sudden, I thought, what about the possibility that I will visit the iniquity of parents upon the children to the third and fourth generation isn't addressed to the children, it's addressed to the parents. And my entire understanding of the verse changed. It's a warning to parents that not only do your actions affect your children, they affect your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. And you should remember that you don't only live for yourself, and you don't even only live for your children, but that you have an effect on posterity that you may not be able to measure, but that God will ensure has a place in the ripples of influence that move out in the world. There is no way that my great-grandparents could have known when they made that difficult and very problematic voyage from Eastern Europe to the United States what the effect would be. But they made the right decision at the right time in history, before the war. And as a result, their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren flourished. That's, I think, why it's in the Ten Commandments. Not to be explained away, but to be understood. Another way of putting it is, your actions have a greater influence on the future than you may think, whether you have children or you don't have children. This isn't only about your direct offspring. It's about the fact that, as I remember, and I think the story was by Ray Bradbury, but I remember the story being read to us in seventh grade by our teacher. I haven't seen it since, but I remember it. It's about a man who goes back in time, because in the future they have this time machine, and the only proviso is you're allowed to go back in time, but you have to stay on the path. Right? There's a path marked out, you have to stay on that path, because otherwise you'll mess everything up. They go back in time, one guy, of course, goes off the path and steps on a butterfly. Then he goes back to the future, and everything has changed. That one action, through a concatenation, through a chain of events, changed everything. And that's part of the message of the Aseret HaDibrot. You don't only act for you. Nobody is in a bubble. Nobody is isolated. You always act in a way that affects not only those around you, but those after you. In a way that's a blessing, or in a way that isn't. So one day, Lord Randolph Churchill was at a dinner party. And a woman next to him asked him a very British question. She said, so tell me, whose descendant are you? She wanted to know, what was his lineage? Did he come from a good family or did he not come from a good family? And he said, madam, I am not a descendant. I am an ancestor. And he was right, because from him came Winston Churchill. We all think of ourselves as descendants. But this morning, we are reminded that either literally or spiritually, we are also ancestors. And it is part of our task to live so that those who come after us will bless us, as we have reason, so many reasons, to bless those who came before. Shabbat Shalom.